The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus came home with his disciples, and again a crowd gathered, making it impossible for them to even eat. When the relatives heard of this, they set out to seize him, for they said, "He is not of his mind." The scribes who had come from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and the prince of demons, he drives out demons." Summoning them, he began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If the kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. That is the end of him. But no one can enter the strong man's house to plunder his property unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can plunder his house. Amen, I say to you, all sins and all blasphemies that people utter will be forgiven them, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an everlasting sin. For then he said, "He has an unclean spirit."
His mother and his brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent the word to him and called him. A crowd seated around him told him, "Your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside asking for you." But he said to them in reply, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking around at those seated in the circle, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." The Gospel of the Lord. It is nice to be back in ordinary time, hence back into the green of the Mass and the liturgy. But this 10th Sunday of ordinary time is not necessarily a nice, feel-good set of readings. So ordinary time isn't always as ordinary as we think. Jesus is teaching us about the result of the fall of Adam and Eve. He is teaching us about the result of a world divided into good and evil, light and dark, the will of God versus our own human will, and the temptation of Satan telling us, "You don't need God, and you certainly don't need the will of God." And so Satan's greatest deception is convincing our first parents, Adam and Eve, that they can be gods. And this division comes to us in the form of shame. So in this first reading, Adam and Eve, they commit the sin and immediately hid themselves in shame after this original sin. They wanted to be God, but then quickly they didn't want to see God, and they didn't want God to see them. We think our sin will protect us. Our interior voice says this after committing a serious sin. It says, "I'll just ignore and hide from God's love. God won't even notice me. Since I am a sinner, God will move on to the next person. My sin will cover my true self." The problem is sin only does one thing. It divides our human soul with God. Division is its only purpose. It takes us out of relationship with God that keeps our souls truly safe, that relationship. We should always want a close, intimate relationship with God, not one that is distant or cold or forgetful. If original sin is the event, the choice of all choices, the original division between the soul and God, then Jesus Christ is the one Savior of the world that restores this division. Jesus is the answer to original sin and every deception of sin throughout human history. Pope Benedict XVI made this beautiful observation on original sin and how it's only understood considering Jesus and his saving cross. So to really understand original sin, you have to understand Jesus and his salvific message and mission. Pope Benedict says, if in the faith of the church an awareness arose of the dogma of original sin, this is because it is inseparably connected to another dogma, that of salvation and freedom in Jesus Christ. This means that we should never consider the sin of Adam and of humankind separately without understanding them within the horizon of justification in Christ. Original sin creates, in a certain sense, a great struggle of wills. The divine will of God versus the human will. Original sin damages the power of the human will and our ability to see clearly what God asks of us. We can ignore God so often that because of this effect of original sin and our own personal sin, after a while, a kind of second nature emerges within us. This second nature or second will of humanity can keep us so well hidden from God that we actually begin to think the evil of the world is normal and good. This is why the world can never lose sight of the one divine will, the incarnate Son of God, who came to proclaim the truth of the gospel. This is why, today more than ever, to know Jesus and proclaim Jesus to the world is everything. We need it now more than ever. The gospel of Jesus Christ unites the wills, human and divine, and helps us to understand the eternal truth, the only truth. We need God. We need God. Pope Benedict reflected in a homily once on the symbol of the yoke. We know that's used in Scripture. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He reflected on this symbol of the yoke that weighs heavily on the souls of humanity. The yoke is then like a symbol of the cross. We are always trying to take off our yokes. But Jesus invites us to give our yokes to him. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Pope Benedict says, God's yoke is God's will. And this will does not weigh down on us, oppressing us, or taking away our freedom. No, to know what God wants, to know where the path of life is found, this is Israel's joy. This is our joy, to know what God wants and to know where the path of life is found. Ask that of God. God, what do you desire? What do you want from me? What is your will? I want to unite that will to my own. Start with this prayer every day. Lord, I need you. Lord, I love you. Lord, forgive me and grant me always your salvation. Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.